Welcome back to Behind Design. I'm your host, Rachel Pesso, and today I am so excited. We are changing it up a little bit, and we are going to go deep into what not to do on your website in 2024. So normally I don't like to tell people what to do, what not to do, because trends are always changing so much, but I feel that this is a really important topic because I think that people are really struggling with figuring out what are the right things to do on their website and what are things that maybe we should just let go of doing in 2024. So I want to run through some of my top things that I call them pet peeves. I call them things we try to stay away from. Obviously, it's not always possible dependent on the business or the brand that you are working with. But first and foremost, I want to just mention that this is just my opinion, my advice. There are always workarounds and other things that you can do to make an experience better. So I think that really leaning into what are the ways that we can make our websites better experiences for the user is always so important. So let's start with the first one. Okay, this is something that has been huge for so many years. It's carousels in your banner. So when you land on a website, and if you guys don't know exactly what I mean, when you land on a website in the past, you would go to someone's homepage and the banner would actually be almost like a slider. It's called the carousel. It goes from one image, the next image, and the next. And oftentimes you have text that's changing on it as well. So these are not great. To be honest, they're really hard to see the information. It's actually been proven that users just don't have the attention span to really be able to take in all the different content. So oftentimes they're going to just keep scrolling right past that. So you see it a lot when somebody is like has different events that they host in their business. You'll have an event carousel, but the truth is the chances of them seeing more than one of those events on that carousel are kind of slim. So we recommend breaking that information out in different ways. We recommend just creating a different user experience. And that's not to say we use carousels sometimes. It can be done really well with very limited text, but I do not recommend it for your hero and your banner. You'd be much better off using a video or just a really strong image and text to really get that message across. So that is my first one that I think needs to go, carousels in the banner. The second one, okay, we have an overuse of animations these days. It used to be that static websites it was really a thing a lot of years ago to just go to a website. There was nothing moving. There was no movement at all. And that was fine. Obviously, now we've progressed and things need to be moving. It actually creates a more organic and I would just say common experience when you go to a website. Certain things will come in and go, move. But what's been going on now is there has been just an overuse of animations. So animations are a wonderful tool, but they should still be used intentionally. So if we're going to a website and every single thing is moving, that could be really distracting for the user. It could also prevent the user from taking the right actions on the site because they're just confused. Their eyes are focused on different stuff. It could actually cause stress and overwhelm. So this is something we'd like to be really mindful of. And a lot of the times we're collaborating with a development team that's helping us basically take the design and make it more interactive, user-friendly. And I think that as designers and as clients, our jobs are to make sure that the experience feels really aligned and intentional. So for me, every time I'm going through a website, if there's too many things flying in, left, right, top, bottom, that's just going to be too much for the user. And so we really want to make sure we're mindful of this when we're creating animations on our website. And again, I do really recommend, I'm not saying don't use animations. Animations are so useful, but we want to be really intentional how they're being used. And we want them to highlight certain parts of the website. So it could be text or it could be image. And it is good to bring movement into the site. Again, people get bored. They don't have very strong attention spans these days. So we need to keep them engaged. So animation can be used for that, but we really do want to be mindful in how we're doing it. So That is on animations. Okay, the next one. Oh my God. I think that this was a thing a lot of years ago, but people are still doing it. And it is complicated navigation. So listen, we get it. Your businesses are robust. They have many different places you want to drive your users. So a lot of the times, I think we get caught up in making all the information available right on the homepage. There are lots of different ways to do navigation menus. Dropdowns used to be huge. And now people have moved away from that. And we really want simple as you can be. The most important thing to me is that when you land on a website, you know exactly where you're meant to go. So that starts with the navigation being simple. Home, about, services, contact, podcast, speaking, book, like those are all really important. Dependent on your strategy, you might want to remove some of those things from your navigation. And I would also check in with your SEO experts, because there are certain pages that are great for Google Analytics and are great to include just for SEO. And I think, again, it really does depend on specific strategies for your business and brand. I do know if you're a speaker, obviously that needs to be a main tab in your navigation, like no questions asked, because we want people to go to that page. And so I know that there are some businesses that it would be impossible to keep it down to 6 or 7 in that top navigation. So we use things like the hamburger navigation, which you can tuck in some other additional navigation items. Also, bottom footer navigations, I think, do work really well. And again, you want those to be kind of secondary items that your user is going to be going to. If you have, let's say, 10 different ways people can work with you, you can do a simplified dropdown, but I actually recommend doing a main work with me page or main services page, where you would then highlight the different services and create additional pages for each one of those. Because the truth is, most of the users, unless your marketing is so good that when they get to your website, they know exactly what they're looking for, which I don't have the statistics on that, but I don't think that would be very high. So I think that it's most important to think about the experience that you want users to go through. It's important to really recognize what are the actions, the most important actions that people need to take, and the most important information that they need to know. So specifically for navigations, when you're creating what goes in your navigation, what goes in your hamburger navigation, what goes in the footer navigation, those should all be thought about from the perspective of, okay, the first ones are the most important. The second ones, the secondary. And then obviously, let's say your blog is important because you have some really great information on there, but that is not a page that you actually want your users to go to unless they want more information on something. And that is useful from a brand building perspective, but maybe it's not useful from a sales perspective. So you're not going to highlight that as a main navigation item unless it's going to be better for your SEO and whatnot. So lots to think about there, but I like to mention that because people often are like, we need to include every single thing in our navigations. And it's a mistake, because when we put too much information up there, then the user actually can't figure out which or where to go, which one to go to, which one they need to go to, which one they want to go to. We really want to make that very, very streamlined. So that's all about navigations. And I think that brings me into my next one. So we always need to have call to actions on a website. And I think over the years, I do believe there has been a lot more focus on that. But in 2024, if someone goes to your website and the call to actions are not present enough, you will be losing people from your website, meaning they won't click on certain things. They might not get to the place where you have the call to action. So where you put them on your website is so important, and having a lot. I mean, sometimes when we're designing a website, I think it could be a little bit overwhelming to think that you have to include a button in every section with a call to action. I know I've had clients say to me, like, isn't this too many buttons? And I'm like, no, because We don't always know where the user is stopping or continuing to scroll. So if I always like to have call to actions as soon as possible, but not too soon, because we want to make sure that we're not asking them to do something before they have enough information. So we want to make sure we're giving them enough information and guiding them into the places for them to take the action. So I think what I'm going to do in coordinates with this episode is I'm going to create a visual video to go along with this to show you some of the examples, because I think it would be so helpful because you'll be able to visually see the differences between lack of call to action or having enough call to actions on your website. And I mean, listen, go to some of mine that we've done in our portfolio. This is something that is really true to my process and how we build websites, but it is a really important one, because if we're not driving people to take the actions that we want them to take in our brands and on our websites, the chances are they're not taking those actions and you're not getting the results that you want. So it is a really big strategy. It obviously is also in correlation with your content. So that brings me to my next tip. And I would say this is one of the biggest ones for me: information overload. I mean, we live in a time where there is so much information between social media, all the different platforms, all the marketing tools, AI. I just think we are in such a time period of information overload. And so when it comes to your website, this is something that has to be very strategic. You can't put too little copy, so that way people can't understand exactly what it is you do and how you can help them. But adding too much copy is just as big of a problem. And actually, to me, it's the biggest problem. As somebody who has ADD, I do not have a very big attention span for reading. And so when I go on a website, if I can't get the information and gather what are the actions that I need to take, I'm overwhelmed. It can stress me out and I'll just probably X out of the website. So, and I've spoken to so many people about this, and copywriters as well. I've had experts on my show here to talk about this and their strategy behind long form sales pages. And definitely, I'm not saying that having a lot of copy doesn't work, but I think we really need to think about on our websites how much copy people are actually going to read. How much do we need to provide for them to take action? How much copy is necessary for the user to actually connect with you, be able to? It's a process. It's a nurturing process. I think Jamie Jensen and I talked on this a little bit on one of the episodes, if you wanted to go back to that. But I do think that it's a huge issue, and I'm still seeing so many clients provide pages that have just way too much copy on it. The average user, I think the statistic, it said Google Analytics came up with the statistic and it says, I think it was 53% of visits are abandoned if the page even takes too long to load. So the statistic is a little bit different because it's about page loading, but I do think that it plays into the same thing, because if someone only has an attention span of 3 seconds, well, you only have 3 seconds to make your point, get them connected, and really keep them going through your website. I think that's something we don't talk about enough, is really how to keep somebody on your website and have them go through a process. And this is what I often call your visual story and visual storytelling, information design. It's how we keep people and guide them where we want them to go, what we want them to understand, and really helping them through a process on our website to lead them to the place that is going to provide the best solution for them. And I think that's the biggest part, is that we always need to be thinking about the users and making sure that the content, the photos, everything that we're creating, the experience, the animations, I've mentioned multiple things here so far, and all of it is to make sure the user experience is simplified, clear, trustworthy, and ignites the right emotions. So yeah, I really wanted to stress that information overload is a real thing. And I do believe that if you aren't going to sit on a website and read all the copy that you're giving to your designers to design, then it probably shouldn't all go on there. And a good designer will tell you this is too much. And I get it. Sometimes designers, I'm not going to say that we love to cut copy. I mean, it makes design look better. It creates a more simplified experience. And so a lot of the times we do push back on the copywriters, on our clients' copy that they provide. And again, it's a negotiation. It's a figuring out what is the amount of copy that actually needs to live there. If a client tells me, hey, there is so much copy on this page, I literally won't even read it myself, we need to cut that copy, because then your user is definitely not going to read it either. So yeah, hopefully that one came across clear. And then the last one that I'm going to mention is really about stock photography, images, and videos. First and foremost, we want to make sure that the images that we're using on our site are connected to the brand. I think that on top of that, having lack of diversity in 2024 on your website is a huge, huge thing. I think that we want to make sure that we're speaking to our ideal users and that it's super inclusive. As you know, there is so much diversity in our world today, and we as brands, it's important for us to continue to bring awareness to that part. It might not always be exactly clear to every person you're working with. I always bring it up as a way of making sure that we're being inclusive, and there's so many different sites now. Stock photography really used to be, I'm going to use the word shitty. It used to be like, oh my God, I'm not using any stock photography. It's super bad. But now as a designer, I can honestly say we use it quite often. And I think that there are so many benefits of using stock photography, especially when we can't actually capture or have the budgets to create photo shoots that tell the full depth and the full story of our brands. So I definitely recommend using stock photography in many different ways. I recommend Adobe Stock. I recommend Unsplash. There's so many now, especially with AI and everything. So highly recommend it, but you do have to be careful that there are still moments of personalization. I did just watch a video where somebody shared that you can actually buy a video, take a screenshot from the video that's more candid and use that as a photo on your site. I thought that was brilliant. I think that there's so many different ways that we can utilize stock photography and stock videos to help create a more authentic and candid experience in our brands, because I do believe that users can actually detect when something has been on other websites. Like with Unsplash, everyone can use those images. So the best practice is always to create your own photo shoots when you can. But if you can't, these are great options. So I wanted to just reiterate the importance of that. And I hope that this was helpful. I wanted to make this quickie for everybody, because I do know that there's so much that can be done on websites these days, different platforms, different things. And I wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of some best practices and things to avoid. So I hope that was helpful. And I will say, let's not forget, like, website design is a perfect example of how important first impressions are. And I didn't touch on that a lot during this episode, but I will say that if we are having the shortest attention spans of all time for users and clients and ideal customers coming to our websites, we want to make sure that impression is as strong and powerful as possible. And a lot of the things that I spoke about today, those will take away from those first impressions, because they're distracting, because they're not clear, or they're creating scenarios that just are not actually ideal for the user. So my last tip is just, if you're stuck on all this, reach out to an expert. We can totally help you with figuring out what is the best flow for your website. User experience should not be ignored in the design process. If you're working with a designer that does not talk about user experience, I personally would make sure that's included in anything that you are doing. Because again, if it's not for the user, who's it for? So thank you so much for joining today. I hope this was super helpful. I want to make sure that these, I'll call them short soul chats with me, are valuable and impactful and something just easy for you to listen to if you want to make some changes in your brand, This is a great episode for you. So thank you for joining. And I'll make sure to include the Loom video in the show notes showing the different topics that I talked about today and which ones to avoid and kind of some more best practices. So thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you could download, follow, and leave me a 5-star rating on Apple, Spotify, or your preferred platform. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And remember, the best way to create a brand you love is to be yourself.